Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw. We have a programming note. I know that this is the post-pay-per-view edition, which means typically Dan Nerd Cubed is on. However, he had business to take care of, so he's going to show up, I believe, in 2 weeks to discuss NXT and Elimination Chamber. And he's inviting a very special guest. We'll see if they show up. We're not going to announce anything right now. We'll see if it happens, but if it does, it'll be very exciting.
Yeah, it definitely will.
I have to turn you up a little bit. You told me to turn you down. I have to turn you up now. I literally cannot hear you.
I told you to turn me down to the point where you almost can't hear me.
Anyways, it's a post-payback episode. We're going to talk about payback. We're going to talk about what we like, what we didn't like. Apparently, this is really cool news that I didn't even know about until you broke it here. Are you front row Brian?
No, that's not me.
Oop, I mean front row Larson. Oops.
Yes.
About one of my favorite divas doing pornography. And in the gorilla position, we're going to talk worst gimmick matches with the Elimination Chamber coming up.
Yeah.
And of course, this is all preface, all prelude. All prelude to Kayfabe Corner. I'm kind of nervous this week about my name selections. I'm giving you a big opportunity, and I'm going to introduce bonus point opportunity with a trivia question. We're going to see how much you know about one of my favorite superstars of today.
Okay.
So we'll find out. But first,
hold on. Why are we doing? There's no raw cap. It's payback recap.
Pay cap.
Okay, pay cap.
There we go. All right. So payback was last night. I thought that this was going to be sort of a more of a fast lane-ish pay-per-view as opposed to a pay-per-view that we kind of like. I wonder one day, are they gonna start referring to these things as something that is not pay-per-view, because that's not even correct.
Well, I think this was offered on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I know it's offered on pay-per-view, but considering how many people watch it on pay-per-view versus the numbers that probably watch it on the network.
What are they calling Elimination Chamber? They're just calling it Elimination Chamber exclusively on WWE Network.
I don't even know if they call. I'm saying, what should we call them? I mean, I think we just call them pay-per-view because it's easier that way. I'm just saying, at some point, they're probably going to stop calling that. I had another point in mind, too. Oh, yeah, it's funny because at one point during Payback last night, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. I heard Michael Cole say, rewind your DVR and watch Barrett escape from the ring. And I'm like, A, not a whole lot of people are watching this on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
B, should you be acknowledging that fact, seeing as how you'd prefer all those people watch on the network?
Yeah, you shouldn't be promoting other technology.
Right, exactly. Like, he should have just said,
hey, for those watching on TiVo.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Right? Anybody who recorded this on their VHS cassette player. Anyways, three things we liked. Three of the things we didn't like are highlights and lowlights of Payback, which I thought overall was a fun event. It was lacking completely in consequences, I think.
Yeah.
So it did feel more like a glorified Raw, kind of. I think right now, the matchups and the feuds that are happening are all pretty decent matchups in terms of being able to put on decent matches.
Yeah.
So I think the current sort of storylines of the current state of affairs benefits from that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So what were some things that you liked? What were some of your highlights?
The first one that pops to mind is both a highlight and low light was the fireworks spot during Cena Rusev, which is actually a much better match than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was. It totally was.
But I liked that they did the spot and there was the fireworks, but also I was worried that Rusev would get up and he'd be on fire and start running around.
Which,
as everybody knows, is my worst nightmare.
Your own personal demons come into play with that particular highlight / lowlight. I like that. One of my highlights was also Cena Rusev. I liked the extent that they sort of tore shit up. They took that gimmicked barricade and did a really cool spot with that, with the suplex on the barricade. I like that Rusev dismantled the ring and looked like, I mean, that ring sort of corner thing looked like he was going to straight up stab Cena, and make him quit that way. I am disappointed that didn't happen. So that for me was personally a low light that we didn't have a shanking in the ring. That's a bummer for me. I liked the ending of that match. I mean, it was kind of the only way they get it. It's funny because I was thinking of what Dan had suggested, or you, I forget. I think it was Dan.
It was Dan, yeah.
It suggested that Rusev would put Lana in the accolade. And then I realized, well, couldn't Cena just, like, kick him in the head and take her? Like, there was nothing. Like, Cena could have just kicked him out of that one.
Yeah, I mean, dramatically, it would have been an interesting move.
It would have been if it was, like, a curb stomp threat.
Now, if he had wrapped Cena in the ropes and then did it, so Cena had no way of
there you go. Yeah, if he had handcuffed him or something.
Yeah.
If Cena had a one thing that kind of bothered me though was when Cena was knocked out when he was cold.
Yeah,
that should be an I quit.
I know, because in a normal match, that's the same as it is the same as an
I quit. Exactly.
But
so
before the match, they were very clear in saying to win the match, you have to verbally make your opponent say I quit.
Yeah. So that's fine, but it was a guy. I don't know. I enjoyed.
Because that's how Stone Cold lost his I Quit match with Bret Hart. He passed out.
Was that a verbal I Quit, or was that just a submission match?
It might have just been a submission match, but
yeah,
it's essentially the same.
Was that even? Wait, was there even stipulation there, or he just?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was either an I Quit or a submission match.
Oh, okay, all right. Anyways, let's see, another, where's my, hold on, oh, I had my notes, hold on, let me get my notes.
Another thing I liked is when Xavier Woods tried to use the Freebird rule.
I loved that. He started shouting the Freebird rule. I love that they're acknowledging that. I love that so flippin' much. And then the fact that he went ahead and executed the Freebird rule himself anyways,
mm-hmm,
by getting the pin on Cesaro, I guess, and then saying that it was he pointed at Kofi Kingston and was like, no, he did it. Good job. And Kofi was thoroughly confused. I love the New Day. I loved,
mm-hmm,
another highlight, of course, was their post-match promo when they found out that they were going to be in the Elimination Tag Match, Elimination Chamber Tag Match. And Xavier was like, wait, we're all going to be in the same pod?
Yeah.
Big E just says, we're too big.
Uh-huh.
That was great. Those guys are just chock full. Like, all them together are just so chock full of charisma as a team. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, even Xavier running around the ring, and he runs over to the announce table at one point and yells, Big E is the muscle, Kofi is the athlete, and I'm the brains of the operation.
Yeah.
Like, why would he have to clarify that for people? But it was great that he did that. I'm anxious to see. Did you see the ESPN 60 on the NXT guys? You heard about that, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I hear it paints all those guys in a pretty cool light, and especially Xavier Woods.
Oh, that's cool.
Obviously, the biggest probably mark-out moment of the night was the Shield's mini-reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the subsequent... The subsequent trashing of Rollins when he was trying to milk it a bit too much.
Yeah.
And then was reminded that, you know, he sold those guys out, their faces, he's a heel, et cetera, et cetera. That was by far, obviously, I think everybody agrees, like the biggest moment of the night. I loved that he won the match with a pedigree as well.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody bitched that it was he executed it poorly. It was ugly. I'm like, the pedigree is not a pretty move in the place.
No, it's not.
It never has been. And if you stumble a bit, it's like polishing a turd. Like, it's still a turd of a move. It's storyline wise, a great finish that he used the pedigree. So I thought that was good. Again, it was sort of a pay per view without consequence, but it was fun. Another low light for me was the Ascension. It was a kickoff show.
That whole match was awful.
It was terrible. I'm kind of bummed out that, I mean, I really like the idea of Sandow and Axelmania sort of being a fun thing together. It kind of, like, once you, like, they're not, but my problem is they're not going to go anywhere with it.
No, and it was one thing when Axel was doing the Axelmania thing, and where it is now is completely not where it started from.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Axelmania thing was he was trying to start a social media campaign.
Social mania.
to get into the main event at WrestleMania, and that was his hashtag, was Axelmania, because he was never eliminated from the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And that's just slowly turned into him imitating Hulk Hogan, which in little bits and pieces is really funny.
Yeah.
But when he does the whole cosplay,
I know,
as Hogan, it's too much.
I hope that they just sort of stop it here and set him up. But you know that this is going to be like just an annoying comedic gimmick that's going to last way too long.
Yep.
Is going to feature on Superstars, which nobody watches. And it's a bummer because the one thing about this whole thing is that, you know, Sandow really sort of, I think, laid claim to a character, to a good story with himself, with that whole Miz thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then to sort of like, it was funny when they sort of, you know, when he asked Axel Mania to take his hand. That was funny for a moment, but it's really just, I hope it doesn't just completely derail all the progress he sort of made because of that Miz angle.
Well, I think it already kind of has, because his first, you know, real match post that he, you know, he's on the losing end to the Ascension.
And they're so bad. They're so awful. There's nothing redeeming about them. They're balding. One of them has titties. The other guy looks like he works in an HR department.
The worst thing is, not the worst thing, sorry. Another thing is that Sandow doesn't even do a good Macho Man.
I know, he's not even trying. And you know the thing that's really annoying is that Jay Lethal's Macho Man was uncanny.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously WWE doesn't expect us to know who Jay Lethal is if you're, you know, a casual fan. But Jay Lethal's Macho Man was freakishly good. And to do it half-assed or to try to compete with somebody else who's already done that, like I said, I don't think they expect us to know who Jay Lethal is if you're your average WWE fan. But still, having the knowledge that we have, as evidenced by our performance every week on Kayfabe Corner, it's kind of a bummer. I hope they just drop that. I don't think they will. I think they're just going to keep it going, and they're going to run into the ground, and they'll both be buried, which is a bummer because if you've seen anything, we all knew about Sandow. I've never been high on Baby Perfect until the Axel Mania thing, and he's really come into his own, and it's a bummer just to immediately see him be relegated to this kind of crap.
Yep.
But I guess, you know what, they're trying to make themselves into something. They're trying to make themselves different. You never know. Like, the primetime players, I don't think WWE had a lot of confidence in them. They split them up, and now they're back, and they might get a push. You never know. Maybe Sandow and Axel Mania might go down the same route. They might be something one day if they just stick to it.
Yeah.
Another low light for me was Bray Wyatt and Ryback.
Why is that?
It was a crap match. Ryback
sucks.
It was
physical.
I don't. I think just inject Ryback in anything for me. I don't know. I think Bray is slumming it with Ryback.
It does seem a step down from the Undertaker.
It does seem quite a step down from the Undertaker. Yes, it does. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what bugs me about this. Maybe there's not enough tension, not enough back and forth. I like the idea.
I still don't know why they're fighting.
I never know why Bray Wyatt fights with anybody.
Well, I mean, with Cena, it was clear.
What was it with Cena?
He was trying to show the fans that the hustle, loyalty, respect, John Cena was a facade.
That's always, but you can pin that on anything, anybody fights these days. And that's the annoying thing. It's like, I know why he's fighting Ryback, because he likes to, Bray Wyatt is sort of the ultimate guy who wants to expose the business, apparently. That's his angle. He wants to expose the business. Because with Ryback, it's the same thing. It's, you know, you're, what has his shtick been with Ryback so far? It's been kind of you claim to have no fear, but I'm the new face of fear, and you're going to fear me. That's kind of the Ryback thing. Like, he's basically calling Ryback one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And saying that he's going to break him down, which, in an abstract way, it could be kind of cool, but it just doesn't play well for dramatics.
No.
Like, it plays well for a thesis paper.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Bray Wyatt's new angle. He's the genius now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He just writes dissertations.
He writes dissertations, yeah. He breaks everything down. He's a deconstructionist wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same with The Undertaker. You know, it was all about your legacy this, your legacy that. Can you come back from losing to your legacy? There's no tangible stakes. That's my problem with it. And I think there. You know,
I think with The Undertaker, there could have been. But
there could have,
enough,
yeah,
there
absolutely.
There wasn't any back and forth.
If he had done what you know, sort of Dan had sort of suggested, and I've heard a lot of places, where Bray sort of wants to take the identity of the Undertaker. That would have been kind of cool, I think, as opposed to just sort of obliquely saying, your legacy is blah, 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 and then and talking to a casket. I can listen to Bray Wyatt talk all day long, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to be excited about one of his matches until there's something on the line. You know, doesn't seem to, as a character, he doesn't seem to give a shit if he wins or loses.
Yeah, no.
He laughs at the end anyways. Yeah. You know, there needs to be something on the line for him.
I know.
He needs to be threatened, you know, and Ryback saying, feed me more, is not threatening Bray Wyatt.
Not in the least.
He just sort of laughs it off. If he started collecting people for his new family, that would be like, that was the one time. That was when the Daniel Bryan thing.
Yeah.
That was the one time when I was really into it. I was like, this is really kind of cool. And then when they gave Daniel Bryan the blow-off match at like that Raw, people exploded.
Yeah.
When he had Bray in the cage, I think it was. Yeah. That was really cool because Bray was a threat. Yep. And then Daniel Bryan, you knew he was a threat because he was on a good win streak. That was really well done. That's how it should be done. If he had sort of brought Ryback, this monster, into his family, that and then Ryback sort of has to... I mean, I know that could get redundant after a while, but what if it was just Bray?
I think with Ryback, too, is, you know, he's kind of gone heel face a lot in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That to have him flip-flop again might have been too much.
That could be, but what if you have, like, what if you almost play it the same as Daniel Bryan, but you add a bit more psychological torture into it, you know? Like, what if he really breaks Ryback down and the people feel for him? And so he doesn't really turn heel. The people feel for him because he's sort of this big, dumb, strong dolt anyways. I don't know. I think you could do something cool there, but there has to be somebody has to be up against the ropes at some point, you know, and nobody's up against the ropes here.
Yeah, not at all.
Another low light was the finish to Neville Barrett. I hate that.
Yeah.
It's a pay-per-view. There needs to be a finish.
I know
they're trying to protect Neville. They're trying to protect Barrett. I get that. There needs to be a finish. I don't like shady finishes, because if you think about it, they've been pretty good about that lately. Like on the pay-per-views, Seth Rollins gets out a lot of stuff because he's got three people back in his play. That's his character. That's the heel. But you know, at the same time, he pinned who did he pin last night? Who was the
Orton?
Yeah, with the pedigree. That's right, and that was cool. Like he's coming off kind of strong. Not a lot of shitty finishes. I think we're gonna understand like tonight that probably Rusev didn't actually quit. He was probably talking in Bulgarian or whatever he talks in and saying, you know, I don't know what he was saying, but
ask you this. Do you prefer Barrett as King Barrett or Bad News Barrett?
You know what? This is the thing. I got a kick out of Bad News Barrett. But it was, I like that they're having him move on to something new. And then hopefully the King thing doesn't stick around too long and he does something else. I mean, I'm not sure what exactly he can do. I'm not sure. Look, I like Bad News Barrett. I think he's got charisma. And I liked when he was doing the Bad News thing. I like the King thing because it's something different. It's something different for him. Will he ever be a threat to the main event? Probably not. The odds of him getting hurt before that ever happens is probably always going to be favorable.
High.
Yeah, high, exactly. So, I don't know. It was a fun show. It felt like a Raw. It was fun to tweet out, to live tweet it.
Yeah.
And the Shield reunion thing, I think, was probably worth it, you know, for that. That was definitely the price of admission was paid with that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's our Payback review. Anything else to add to that?
Did you see that picture of Dolph?
I did.
Get stitches.
That was huge.
Yeah, that was a big cut.
He bled a lot.
Yeah, he did.
A whole lot. So hopefully he's feeling good. That was a decent match. I'm okay with Sheamus these days. I like Sheamus as a heel.
Did you watch his social media thing during the pre-show?
Whose?
Sheamus.
No, I didn't.
It was not good.
What did he do?
Well, they were taking, you know, what they said were fan questions.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how scripted his answers were versus, how much he was riffing.
Yeah.
But, mm.
You think Sheamus is a good guy, like, when the curtain, behind the curtains?
Yeah, he's. I feel like he's having a really hard time going full heel.
Yeah.
And yeah, he still does the whole fella thing and has his...
So does like he still say fella?
Yeah, when he comes out, he has his arm stretched out and still yells fella.
Oh, I thought he just yells. I didn't know he literally said fella still.
But he shouldn't be doing that since he's a new
character.
He
shouldn't.
Like when he walks around with his hands or with his arms out, put his hands open rather than balled in fists.
Yeah.
Kind of when he does the are you not entertained thing.
Yeah.
That seems more of a heelish thing. So if he just comes out and just kind of raises his arms up, hands open... doesn't really say anything, just kind of stares out, looks around. I think that'd be more heelish than doing the full...
I like the Are You Not Entertained thing. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I don't know. Well, I think they're trying their damage. They're going to try to build him to a main event heel guy because they're sort of lacking in that. I think he's sort of on the same level Barrett. Will he ever actually get there? I don't know. But I'll buy in for the time. It's not going to hurt me to buy into Sheamus once again.
Well, let me ask you this: are you going to buy in his new theme song and purchase it from iTunes?
No, I can't. I wouldn't recognize it if you played it for me. The other one was great. It was a wonderful, catchy piece of pop music.
Okay.
The lyrics were profound too. These words are truth, and I something believe.
I kind of remember that.
And I'll make you believe, maybe? I don't know. It's all bad. Anyways, we got a great news item here from Front Row Larson. Report broken by Front Row Brian.
Apparently, he's the guy that broke the John Jones hit and run story.
So explain to me this. Sonny possibly doing pornography. Where can I buy this?
Well, it has not been confirmed yet.
Isn't this just her on Skype?
No, this is her signing a contract with Vivid Entertainment.
Oh, lordy be.
Again, well, unconfirmed. This is rumor and speculation.
Okay. From what I've seen in the Skype screenshots that people have taken, she probably should get into somewhat shape before she does that. Nobody wants to see a heifer doing that. I mean, some people do. I'm just saying, if she wants mainstream attention for like China's type of money, China's porn money, which is probably pretty decent, she probably wants to get in shape. Sunny side.
I don't know.
Is it going to be called Sunny Side Up?
I don't know.
Sunny Side Up. Oh, man. Poor Sunny. Skype money ain't enough for her. One day we really need to get her on Skype and just ask her questions. Be like, hold on, put some clothes on. Now we're going to ask you some questions. And hey, oh my God, we'll do Kayfabe Corner with her. See how many she gets
there
right.
There you go. See, that's actually a good idea.
There you go. Kayfabe Corner. Oh, that's what we got to do, man. We got to start hitting up some wrestling personalities and get them on Kayfabe Corner.
There you go. See if anybody can best my score.
I don't know if anybody's ever going to get better than 10 inches. Well, maybe you might have a chance today. I've given you the opportunity today.
Okay.
If you don't get it today, you're never going to get it.
Okay.
Time for the Gorilla Position, where we debate timeless wrestling questions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So with Elimination Chamber coming up, which has a spotty record, I think. There's never been a classic Elimination Chamber
match.
You
said, I haven't seen it yet. The Shield versus the Wyatt family a couple years back was really good.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good one. There you go. We decided to take the worst gimmick matches in wrestling history. Of course, WCW from like 2000, 2001, 1999, 2001 kind of
era. You know,
just
kind of any WCW.
Any WCW gimmick match.
Yeah.
They had like the Viagra on a pole match. They
Anything
were just,
on a there was a stretch. It might have been from 2000, 2001, where every week on Nitro they had something on a pole match.
Something on a pole match. That's just annoying. Let's see here. Yeah, you point out the Hell in a Cell with Undertaker and Big Boss Man, because Undertaker literally killed by hanging the Big Boss Man in the center of the ring.
He didn't, and also it was a terrible, terrible, terrible match.
Well, it's the Big Boss Man. You're never going to get a good match with the Big Boss Man.
I understand that. Then these two wrestlers should not have been working together.
Why would
it was
you...
at WrestleMania or something like that, too, wasn't it?
I think so. Why would you put the scaffold match on here? Those are great matches.
It's just a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea. Nobody's ever... And the thing is, like, people always have to fall from the scaffold, and it's always a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, didn't New Jack, like, go half blind because of... Was it Grimes? No, Vic Grimes was later in XPW.
Yeah.
This was ECW, and I forget who it was. But, God, who was it? And he didn't want to jump. And New Jack said, we're up here, we're going to jump. There's a great interview with him.
I thought that was a Vic Grimes match.
Was that Vic Grimes?
I think so.
I thought Vic Grimes was XPW.
Yeah, but I thought that was one where Vic Grimes didn't want to do it.
No, it was definitely ECW. I could be wrong. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm almost positive it's ECW, though. And the dude didn't want to do it. And so New Jack sort of just grabbed him, and they went down together. And the guy fell on, like, New Jack's head.
Oh, yeah.
From way far up there. And New Jack was like, yeah, I busted my eye socket. I went half blind. Like, and still, I still have problems from it. Man, it was all wrong. All sorts of wrong. Just so bad. And then there was the XPW one, where I think that was Vic Grimes. Or Supreme or somebody, I forget.
No, it was the one with Vic Grimes where New Jack just didn't like the guy.
I don't know. I don't remember. Probably. I don't think. Has New Jack liked anybody but Mustafa in his life? And they fell. And they fell through the tubes, wasn't it?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, I don't know. It was bad.
Vic Grimes was just tables under the
scaffolding. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's all bad. Scaffold matches are all bad. Nothing good happens. Chain/bull rope matches.
Yeah, we just saw one of these, the Rusev Cena one.
Right. These could have been cool back in the day, like when Dusty Rhodes was doing them.
Yeah.
Those were kind of cool. But lately they're crap. World War III.
Yeah, that's a terrible
match. Too many cages.
Did you see the I don't think it was World War III is the three rings, right?
Yes.
WCW had a match where it was three cages on top of each other.
I know, and that wasn't that the one that David Arquette won the WCW championship in?
Oh, was that it?
It was something like that. I think either he won that one or he defended in that one, but that was during the David Arquette days. And it was terrible. It was so confusing. Nobody knew where to go. There was too much cage, not enough wrestlers. Yeah, it was anything like Vince Russo came up with in WCW. It sounded crap.
Yeah.
let's see here. And then, probably... Notably, one of the worst matches of all time in terms of its stature and how bad it was. The blindfold match between
Rick Martel,
the model Rick Martel, and Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was really bad. Well, I was thinking of another one. What? There was another. Fuck, it was just on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, a lot of bad matches. I'm trying to see what the worst one would have been. I think anything on a pole is really bad. The blindfold matches. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's just not a good idea.
None of these are good ideas. You know, the only one on here that's a decent idea is the World War III is the three cages. Because mm-hmm. back then you had all sorts of factions. I mean, you had the NWO and the Horsemen. Mm-hmm. And so that could be kind of cool, but. I mean, that's a decent idea. The Elimination Chamber is a decent idea.
Yeah, I mean, Hell in the Cell is a decent idea.
Hell in the Cell is a good idea. I mean, it's just a regular cage match, but it has, like, a roof.
It just, like, anything on the pole matches are just, we don't want to do a ladder match, so we'll just put a pole on the turnbuckle.
And I would say the worst one for me personally is that one we just saw with Rusev and Cena where they're walking around and lights are turning on and off.
Yeah.
Because even if they executed it properly, which they didn't, even if the guy running the lights knew what he was doing, which he didn't, it would still be stupid because they're just walking around.
Yeah.
There's like no sense of urgency.
Yeah, none. None. And the chain seemed too long. Like if you just had your opponent in the middle of the ring, you could go and touch all four corners pretty easily.
Right, right. That's all bad. I'm trying to think of other crap matches, crap gimmicks. Yeah, I remember they had didn't they have like the stun gun, the cattle prod on a pole match?
Pole match, yeah.
Because it's Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of it's good.
None of it's good.
You hear about that Global Wrestling Federation?
Global Force Wrestling?
Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah, Scott Hall's involved in that somehow.
Yep. They got a decent looking roster. They have a really big roster.
I was excited to see that Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, I always liked him.
Yeah, he's really good.
That dude had loads of charisma, too. It's weird that he never came back to WWF. Maybe he was just making too much money elsewhere.
Yeah, because he went to Japan, and I think that's where he's wrestling now, is in Japan somewhere.
Probably, yeah. All right. It's time for our favorite segment. You're either going to do really good or really bad or somewhere in between.
That doesn't really narrow it down at all.
Kayfabe Corner! You guys need to play along at home. We got
Let us
all
know
sorts
how you
of,
do.
But, well, I think we got one person who said they got 10 out of 12.
Last week,
yeah. Okay. Again, this is the honor system, so tweet at us. Let us know how you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I can remember them. And so we'll give you guys some shout-outs. Again, yeah. Honor system. And there's no prize. So if you're lying about getting a 10 out of 12, you're not impressing anybody.
Yeah, not at all.
All right. Are you ready?
Sure. I have a piece of paper and a pen to keep score.
12 names.
Okay.
Half are real, half are fake.
Okay.
And there is a definite theme. And if you figure out that theme from the jump, you might do really well.
Okay.
And then, of course, there is the bonus question, the bonus trivia question.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
If I answer this bonus trivia question correctly, does it add points to my corner score? How many?
So now there's the possibility of getting 13 out of 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just one extra point. Okay.
One
extra
point.
That's what I was curious about.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Kayfabe Corner, real or fake? Number one. Angus King.
Fake.
Number two.
Okay.
Bruiser Mastino.
Mastino's a really good last name. Too good for you to make up, but that might also be why it's fake, because you took someone else's last name.
There's so much double thinking here.
I know.
Second thoughts.
What did I say for the last one? Fake?
You said fake, yeah.
I'll say fake.
Number three.
Okay.
Baby Sugar.
So we've had Angus King.
Uh-huh.
Bruiser Mastino.
Uh-huh.
And Baby Sugar.
You know what I love about Angus King?
Huh.
Is that Angus, these days, can be in fast food industry synonymous with burger.
Yeah.
It's a Burger King, but it's a real name. Baby Sugar.
Real.
Damn. Not doing well, my friend.
No. I always start out slow, though, except for the time I got 10.
Number four. Four. Sid Powers.
Oh, that's fake.
Real.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Number five. Bubba San Juan.
Fake.
Very good. Your first
finally
one.
Got one.
All right.
Which number was that? Five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dean Mean.
How do you spell mean?
M-E-A-N.
Okay.
Regular way.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it. I'm overthinking it at this point.
You are, I know. Choking.
I am.
Unabomb.
I hope that's fake.
It's up to you. Do you tell me?
No, I'm saying it's fake.
It's real.
Oh, my God.
The Christmas Creature.
Real.
Very good. Three more.
Okay.
Coy Roy.
How do you spell coy?
C-O-Y.
Fake.
Very good. Spartacus.
Real.
Very good. You know, it sucks that I was gonna one of my fake ones was gonna be Spartacus 2. And then I realized that I needed another reel. Final one. Van Horn.
Fake.
Real. Now, would you like to know what the theme is, and it's related to the bonus question?
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Angus King, Bruiser Mastino, Sid Powers, Unabom, and the Christmas Creature all were names for one Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane, at one point or another. Oh, and Spartacus. Used all those names. Now, for your bonus question.
Yes.
Glenn Jacobs has also been referred to as four other names, three of which I know you know.
Yeah.
What is the fourth?
Oh, shit. So it's obviously Kane,
yep.
Isaac Yankum, yep. Fake Diesel.
Correct. What is the fourth?
Did he use this name in WWF/WWE?
I don't believe so. That's a good question.
You know, I could just buy time and go on his Wikipedia entry and just find
don't
it out.
Don't
right
do
now.
That. That's
no, I'm
no
not going
fun.
To.
Hold on. I'll look it up. No, I'll give you a hint, though. He used it in the USWA.
Okay, that helps a lot.
I was actually going to use this in the list of words, but it seemed like it was too real.
So it's not just Glenn Jacobs.
It's not a trick question, no.
This is whether I know it or not. I'll say, can you tell me what year it was that he used this name?
Yeah, it looked like it was around 94.
Oh, okay.
He fought Cactus Jack. He fought Lawler. He fought in Puerto Rico as this name.
I'll say, man, I really have no idea.
I'll give you a hint because he did so shitty.
Okay.
One of Superman's biggest nemesises. Nemesi?
Was he known as Zod?
No. He was known as Doomsday.
Oh. I would either know that or I wouldn't know that.
yeah, I figured.
It's not something I could deduce.
I didn't know if that was I didn't really look up the backstory of Doomsday if we didn't know. If I had given that to you during Kayfabe Corner, would you have said real or fake?
Doomsday? I would have said real.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Four. That was terrible.
That was not your best outing there.
No. I was overthinking.
They were all Kane.
Yeah.
They were all Kane.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with the work of Mr. Glenn.
Neither
Jacobs.
Am I. That's why I looked him up. I was like, what is he like? What did he do before like Diesel? Like, where did he come up? And he was tag team partners with Al Snow.
Hmm.
As the Miami Vice, Miami Connection, Miami something or another, Glenn Jacobs. Oh, wait, no, I could have been wrong about that. Hold on, Al Snow, what were they known as? They were known as, it was in Smoky Mountain. And they were known as, goddammit, what were they known as? Oh, they were known as the Dynamic Duo. Probably not for very long. That was when he was just starting out.
Hmm. Anyways. Definitely when Al Snow was just starting out, too.
Oh, yeah. Al Snow was a hell of a talker even back then, though. I watched a promo with them, and Al Snow was running the mouth pretty well.
Huh.
Pretty good.
Cool.
Anyways, let us know what you guys got.
Yeah, you'd be hard-pressed to do worse than I did.
If you're a huge Kane fan, you might have done pretty well.
Yeah.
Unabom. He was actually a Unabom. Unabom. That's terrible.
That is bad. Really
that's
bad.
That's awful. Anyways, that's our show for the week. Next week, we'll be back. And then the week after that, we should have Dan and maybe a mystery partner.
Yeah.
For a very special episode. We're going to discuss all sorts of shit. So hopefully we'll see you guys back here next week.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.